Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. More fun topics today to help you and your family live in the vocations God has given you. Enjoy the gifts that God has given you. And some encouraging stories today from our friends at Jesus Our Savior Preschool in Nebraska. We're going to learn about how God has blessed them with an opportunity to serve and tell the good news of Jesus in their community. We're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to learn more about opportunities here in St. Louis as well. Hope you can stick around for all of the conversation as we learn about these, the great gifts God gives us and the ways He gives us to serve in our vocations. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Just check out the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone this morning, friends from Jesus Our Savior Preschool, Pastor Ricky Jacob. Good morning, Pastor Jacob.
Oh, good morning. Glad to be with you this morning and to share what God's doing here in Northeast Nebraska.
Thanks so much for being our guest. And also preschool teacher Cheryl Teets. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thanks for being my guest this morning and spending some time with us, helping us learn about God's work at Jesus Our Savior Preschool. Pastor, tell us a little bit about your background. I understand that you've served as a missionary and now serving there in Nebraska with the Winnebago tribe, correct?
Correct. My first call was to the Kono tribe of Sierra Leone, West Africa. And served there almost 5 years, and that was really my training ground for here. A lot of similarities in working with Native Americans as well as with our Kono tribe in West Africa. I've been here since 1993 by the grace of God and at the gracious invitation of the Winnebago tribe of Nebraska, sharing our faith in God's word since that time.
For our listeners not familiar with the Winnebago tribe of Nebraska, share with us a little bit about the tribe and the history and the culture there.
Wow, that's a really tough thing to answer in a short soundbite. But they've been here since about 1860s. In the 1860s, they came here and settled on the northern part of the Omaha Reservation. They're located 20 miles south of Sioux City, about 80 miles north or 80 or 90 miles from Omaha. And the reservation itself is about 6 miles north and south and 20 east and west. We have about 800 in the town of Winnebago where we live and have our church and preschool, and about 1,500 on the reservation itself.
What are some things that that are unique about the culture in the Winnebago tribe of Nebraska?
Well, it's very tribal oriented, so family and extended family is very, very important. Time is not so important. Relationships are, and some of their upbringing with some of their the way they do funerals and the way they support one another as extended family. The way what other things I could say with they view God as the creator, and also many of them here also understand who His Son is. And they invited us to share. They invited the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to have someone come and share his or her faith with the youth of our community here. And by God's grace, we've been here since June of 1993.
Well, thanks be to God for the invitation and the opportunity to tell the good news of Jesus with the Winnebago tribe of Nebraska. Cheryl, tell us a little bit about yourself as coming to Jesus Our Savior Preschool as a teacher.
Yes, thanks. I came in the fall of 2010. The preschool teacher that was here took a call to the Orphan Grain Train, if you've heard of that, mm-hmm. in Norfolk. And then I was blessed to be asked to serve here. And I've learned so much from Pastor, and I just love the people here. And I'm the preschool director and teacher, and I get to share the love of Jesus every day with the preschoolers and their families.
tell me a little bit about the background of Jesus, Our Savior Preschool. How did the saints there at Jesus, Our Savior learn that there was a need for that preschool, and how did that all get started?
I'm going to give that to Pastor because I didn't get to be here at the start of things. So here you go, Pastor.
We had a real need. There was more children on our reservation that needed preschool, or the Head Start was overflowing. They didn't have enough spots, so we asked the Nebraska District to open up a preschool here, and so we've been at it. I think this is our 19th year going into, and by the grace of God, the children have been coming. We offer a morning or an afternoon session Tuesday through Friday for about 2.5 hours, and it's been well received. So we get to share the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and we even share the Lord's Prayer in Ho-Chunk. They learn to sing it, and as well as learning some Ho-Chunk or Winnebago language. We've been blessed to do it. We've been very the tribe has supported us, and we have great opportunity to raise these little ones up from little on up.
Pastor, tell me about the outreach of Jesus, Our Savior, there to the Winnebago tribe.
Yeah, since 1995, we have a site here, a mobile home, actually, that's kind of got a big open area that we offer divine service since Reformation Sunday, 1995. I offer prayer service at the shelter each Sunday and Bible study on Thursdays. I also offer Bible study, and we have Sunday school during the school year at 10 o'clock here and an 11 o'clock service. I have opportunities to share God's word by living right here in the community, right in the heart of the reservation here, right behind the community center. They've allowed me to write articles for their Winnebago Indian newspaper every other week, and I get to share the gospel with them. Also serve at the drug dependency unit, listening to Fifth Steps, offering them to come to our church. I do hospital and nursing home visits, and provide services at wakes and funerals and an occasional wedding to perform. So just various opportunities to be here in the community sharing God's word. And I also have Wednesday evening confirmation classes ongoing.
Now, you mentioned earlier that that the church was invited, Lutherans were invited by the tribe into their community. Why do you think there was an invitation on behalf of the Winnebago tribe?
Well, some of our churches in the area, the West Point Circuit, with the encouragement of the Nebraska District, came and did some service work with the tribe, where they helped renovate a building that was going to be used for an after-school program for the youth of our community. And the tribe provided the materials, and the men provided the labor. And then when these churches members came back and asked, what more can we do? That's when the tribal council, we have 9 on the tribal council, invited the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to provide a worker who would share his or her faith with the children. So they were, by the grace of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit, they invited us to do that. And in June of 93, I was called and came here with my wife and 2 of our children, and have been here ever since.
And how have you been received? How has the message of the good news of Jesus been received?
Well, we've had over 100 baptized people. We've had, I think it's over 20 now, confirmations, and we're real active right now. We have several in confirmation classes right now. I refer to them as raising up spiritual Ho-Chunk warriors, giving them the basic teachings of God's Word based on Luther's Catechism. And it's received in mixed ways, just like it is in any community or culture. Some are very open, and it's life-changing, and others are resistant to it. Some think that all they need to do is believe in the Creator. But we give them His Son as well, and the saving knowledge of faith through the work of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, His life, death, resurrection, and and we allow God's word to work by the power of the Spirit. And so many lives have been changed here.
Cheryl, what did you do before coming to Jesus Our Savior Preschool? Had you had any involvement or work with a tribe similar to the Winnebago tribe?
No. Well, yes, in a way. There was a gentleman named Felix White that would bring students, and mostly started with his family, and then he took others from this area. And after they finished preschool here, he came up to Zion Lutheran School in Bancroft, which is right close to me, and that's where my children attended. So I started learning about the Winnebago tribe through Felix, and my kids fell in love with him. He was a very dynamic man, and I got to know them, and it's just how God directed me. I mean, it's pretty neat how he just paved the way for me to be ready for this job. So, yeah.
Share with me about the preschool. What does the preschool look like? Who comes to the preschool? What does a typical day look like?
Well, like Pastor said, we have a morning and an afternoon class. And a typical day is they come in the door, and I say, Heine P. That means good morning in Ho-Chunk. And I just love on the families. The families bring the child to the door, so pastor's there, too, to greet them. We have devotions in the morning before, so he's already in place and in the room. And we just love on the families, too. That's a real big part of our ministry as well. And then we have a 2.5-hour session, and then the family members come to pick up the child, and there again, then we get to love on them, pray with them. They, as they get to know us, they start to share more and more about their lives, and we pray with them, and we encourage them, and we just try to meet their needs in any way that we can. And it's just an awesome ministry, and they start to trust us, and we, as we continue to love on them. Well, I do other things throughout the year. We do donuts with Dad during D week, so I get the dads in there, and so they get to know me too, and just interacting with their children. And we have Grandparents Day, get the grandparents in there, and we have a big party with them. And in the spring, we have something, what we use, actual real china teacups, and we have our moms come in for a tea party, and that has blossomed into the moms and the aunties and the grandmas. They all are excited about that, and we had our third annual one this last spring, and that's been so well received. And that we just, in any way we can, we try to love on them and just provide for their needs. We have a Christmas program that we practice for. It's right before Christmas, and the children reenact the first Christmas. And we actually had a grandmother, the late Regina Scott, who headed up the costumes, making the costumes. And she got members of the community to help her. And so that was really neat too. And so they dress up and we reenact that. And we have so many, Pastor, how many did we have this last year come to that?
I would say about 70 to 80 mm-hmm. at Christmas time. And then we also have a closing service at the end of the year too.
Yeah. And at our graduation, we have a spring program too. And I let them, at that spring program, I let them show what they've learned throughout the year, and they share it with their grandparents, aunties, and uncles. The families come together. There's a lot of support amongst. They're very family oriented. So we get aunties, uncles. It would be a Daga. A Daga is an uncle in the Ho-Chunk language, and their Kakas and their Chokas. That's grandpas and grandmas, and. They all come together. We have a big pot blessed meal at both the Christmas and the spring program, and that is very well received. Lots of when they bring together for a pot blessed meal, there is like fry bread and lots of food. They are very good about that. Gathering together. They gather together for a lot of things. Also this year, I started something new that has been very, very well received, and it's a Facebook site. It's closed. I invite people to join it, and the families get to come to that. And there I video the children doing their Bible verses. And this past year, we worked hard on the 23rd Psalm, and there were several of the preschoolers that were able to recite the entire 23rd Psalm. And for them to do it on camera, on Facebook, and their parents would share, asked me to share it with their families, and it was very well received. They learned the Ten Commandments. We work on that every day. Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, Apostles' Creed, several Bible passages, of course, John 3:16. We have a theme Bible verse every year. The theme for this year is John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And that says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever believes in me will never die. That's going to be our theme this year. But every year we have a theme. That's the first verse we work on. And we have chapel on Wednesday, and we come over to church here, and they actually are so excited to light and douse the candles, and we go through all of those things, Lord's Prayer, Apostles' Creed, Ten Commandments, and then we have a Bible story for each week, and we concentrate on that. And it's amazing what these three and four-year-olds can do. I mean, they're like little sponges, and mm-hmm. they just pick it up, and it's so awesome. They go home and they tell their families, and I had one little girl, one mom come in and say she insisted I learn every Bible passage she learned, and so she taught it to her families. But that's not just one case. So that happens all the time, and it's just really neat. And we work on the Ho-Chunk, like Pastor said, and they know the Lord's Prayer in Ho-Chunk by the end of the year, too. And it's just really a neat ministry. I am so blessed to be a part of it. I just am amazed by these preschoolers and how they go home and they become little missionaries to their family. But with this Facebook site too, it's also added because they're showing it to their family and friends and seeing what they're learning, and they're hearing God's word. It's coming into their homes, and that just gives me goosebumps to think about. So, Pastor didn't mention, I don't think, about on Wednesdays, and we have an after-school program called the Kids Bible Adventure Hour, which is for 5 to 12-year-olds, and it's from 4 to 5. We do the Bible lesson that we do in preschool. You know, we have one Bible lesson a week, but we do it with the children that on that Wednesday after school. We have a craft, a snack, and we do the prayers, songs. We talk about the Ten Commandments and try to teach them that, and Lord's Prayer and Apostles' Creed, of course. And that has been really well received, too. Do you have anything to say about that, Pastor?
You can just tell she's excited.
Yeah, I guess I probably should stop, huh?
Pastor, it sounds like, as Cheryl has shared, that God's word is certainly at the heart of everything that that takes place at Jesus Our Savior preschool and the after school program as well. Why is the word of God central to everything you do at Jesus Our Savior?
Well, that's why we're here. We're here to share the love of Jesus with our neighbors, including the people here in this community. And that's what changes lives. That's what gives people hope in a very troubled and fallen world. God has given us that vocation, that calling to do that, to serve. And we see the power of His Word in these little lives, and then it goes out in all four directions. It goes out to the families, and just we have so many opportunities to share what God has given us, the joy, the hope, the peace, the love that we have in knowing Jesus as our Savior. And that's why when I chose the name, I wanted to express what we're all about right up front, Jesus our Savior. And And he's not only the white man's savior, he's the savior of every tribe and language and people. So that's what we're all about. And what I'm blessed to do as well.
Tell me a little bit about who has helped support that has enabled you to do the work that you're given there at Jesus Our Savior. I understand you've received some grants?
Yes, we have. Now, first, in the mission, we've gotten a lot of support from our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Wayne and West Point Circuit congregations and throughout the Nebraska district and even beyond, with some of my supporters from when we were in Africa and extended throughout the Synod. Initially, we got some grants from Wheat Ridge, and we've gotten support from Lutheran Women's Missionary League very well here for the outreach and the school. It's just been a real blessing. Now, the grants that we got recently for our Christ-centered family life gatherings that was a pilot project over the summer were from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Domestic Grant Fund, as well as Lutherans in Medical Missions. And last year, we had to go through the Recognized Service Organization, and we met Deaconess Dorothy Kranz, and she took a loving to our ministry here and has sent many things for our preschool. And then she encouraged us to get a grant to maybe have a parish nurse. Instead, we have a Dr. Anitra Warrior, a lady by God's grace. I confirmed Allah and confirmed her two teenage girls and baptized them. And she's a licensed psychologist. She lives now in Lincoln, about 100 miles south of us. And she agreed to come up and do some workshops, and we're going to be doing that on an ongoing basis. I provide this more of the spiritual side, and she provides her talents in psychology. And so we work together, and we've also received support from the Winnebago Whirling Thunder Wellness Program, who provides the building, the space, and as well as we have family style or sit-down meals, family meals together to start us off, and they provide the kitchen, and the summer they provided a cook to prepare the meals, and then we provided the meals and various books that we use. We use the Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers, Faithfully Parenting Tweens and Teens, and then Family Time, and then Luther's Daily Prayers, as well as we gave out T-shirts. That's a real big draw here on the reservation. And on the front, we had our theme verse as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Family Life, Christ-Centered Family Life Gatherings 2016. And it's been well received, and we're going to be doing an eight part over the years. Each month we'll have one starting in October to continue on.
Well, thanks be to God for all the support that has allowed you to do so many things. That has provided the means for you to do those things on the the reservation there and reach so many in the Winnebago tribe, especially, you know, something as simple as T-shirts. How great is that?
It's awesome. And now they're, you know, they can wear them, and on the back it has all of our sponsors. We thank God for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Lutherans in Medical Missions. It's a great way. And also I want to thank Dr. Edward Veith and Mary Morby for their book Family Vocation, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood, and we use that as a resource, and so much of it obviously comes from God's Word. God's calling us as parents in marriage and in each of our vocations, even childhood. And so we use that book as a resource and share God's Word.
Well, it certainly is a blessing, and we're very thankful for all that you are doing there. We are all out of time, but I have certainly enjoyed talking with you both. Cheryl, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Pastor Ricky Jacob, thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thanks, Andy. God's blessings to you and KFU and your sponsors as well. We thank God for getting this word out, what God is doing.
Very good.
Here in Northeast
Nebraska. Just real quick before we go, Pastor, where can we find out more about Jesus, our Savior Preschool?
Well, I'm on Facebook myself, Ricky Jacob. You could try to find me there. We also have Jesus Our Savior Lutheran Outreach on Facebook, or you can find us there in Winnebago. Otherwise, through the Nebraska District, I'm also an associate member of Lutherans in Lutheran Indian Ministry, rather, and I've got links from there as well, and they allow me to write devotions for their Advent and Lenten times.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being our guest today. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to learn about Send Me St. Louis. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Are you aware many men struggle in the aftermath of abortion? According to research, 8% of men are seriously damaged emotionally. This means nearly 5 million men are walking wounded, with millions more affected to lesser degrees. We have a website to help these hurting fathers. MenAndAbortion.net can refer a man to free peer-to-peer counselors anywhere in the nation. There are videos and books, healing Bible studies, research, and more. Men need to know they're not alone, and there's help for them. MenAndAbortion.net is the place for them to begin their journey back to wholeness. Please pray more hurting fathers of aborted babies will reach out and connect with the help they need. Once again, the address is MenAndAbortion.net.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and the Chancellor of LCMSU, inviting you to join us right here on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the Student Union. If you can't make it, Student Union is always available as a podcast at kfuo.org. Learn more about LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day. Radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Kelly Schumacher, artist and founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts, offers group and private lessons in classical art education that focus on Old Masters oil painting techniques and drawing that glorify God and are based on the fundamental principles of art and art history. Youth and adult lessons are available. AgnusDeiArts.com. That's AgnusDeiArts.com. Who are KFUO Day sponsors? They're people like you. They're listeners who appreciate and support the Lord's work in broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ every day. For more information on becoming a KFUO Day sponsor, contact Mary Schmidt at 314-996-1518 or Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512 or email us to find out more at gifts@kfuo.org. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. In studio with me today, Matt Miller, Social Service Outreach and Volunteerism Specialist for Send Me St. Louis. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Glad to have you in studio.
It's great to be here.
So, Send Me St. Louis. What is Send Me St. Louis, Matt?
Sure. Send Me St. Louis is what we call the capacity building arm of Lutheran Foundation of St. Louis. And so Lutheran Foundation has been around for a little over 30 years. Was born out of the sale of Lutheran Hospital here in St. Louis, and back in, I believe, 1984 is when the sale happened. And so they've been funding ministry here for over 30 years, and about, I believe, 10 years ago, saw the need to start Send Me. And so Send Me St. Louis has been in various iterations, but today is a capacity-building arm or a consulting arm of the foundation, and we focus on two main areas. We work with churches and faith-based nonprofits on how they engage and serve their communities, as well as how they equip people for service. And so all things volunteerism related. So best practices, how to do that in a healthy way. And so we do that through group trainings. We do it through specific trainings at a specific church or nonprofit where we'll tailor that to fit the needs of the church or the organization. We also do a lot of coaching and consulting, as well as connecting church leaders with other church leaders or other nonprofit leaders, and really trying to build collaborations around the belief that we're better together in how we serve the community.
So what drew you to this? Why were you interested in being a part of Send Me St. Louis?
Sure. It's a great question. My wife and I lived in Chicago for the past 12 years, and along the way worked for about 10 years in the faith-based nonprofit space. And so worked for an outreach ministry called Young Life, where I was working with public high school kids, and then spent about 8 years at Concordia University Chicago on the admission side, and then on the retention side. And so it was around that faith-based nonprofit space, but then along the way was doing graduate work in organizational leadership and nonprofit studies, as well as my MDiv, and so doing some graduate theology work. So along the way, entertained the idea of being a pastor, but at the end of the day, settled on my love for the local community and love for the local church and how those two intersect. And so as we started to think about moving back to St. Louis to be near family, I heard about this job from just one networking meeting and said, wow, that job exists where I just get to spend time with pastors and nonprofit leaders and figure out how to kind of give away our knowledge resources and our training resources to help them better kind of live out their mission and live out the gospel in their communities. So kind of stumbled into it, and it's a good fit.
What has been most challenging about that? What seems to be the hurdle or the challenge for congregations or nonprofit organizations to really build capacity to help their members and others serve in the ways they're given to serve?
Sure. I'll start on the church side. And we just work with churches in the St. Louis metro area. And so I'm able to really kind of go deep with a group of churches. I would say one of the roadblocks is we have churches that at one point were very connected to their communities. The people that went to the churches lived in the neighborhoods. And so it was just a very natural, they just naturally connected and they spoke kind of the cultural language very easily that connected them with the neighborhood. As demographics have changed, people have moved out of the suburbs and we don't speak the language necessarily of the community and we don't know how to necessarily connect, and we've really turned inward at points. And so kind of getting congregations to realize that they still are in a community is a big first step, which seems quite basic, but starting there and then providing tools for them to be able to learn about that community. What are the needs? What do they care about? And how can the church enter into that and walk alongside the community? There's some just initial obstacles to getting reorienting people to the fact that the church is there for the community and not just for itself. So that's kind of one of the major things that we work on.
So helping us move from that inward focus focusing on self and and my own needs, maybe my own family's needs or a few other people that I like.
Yeah, exactly. People that are like me. Yeah.
Yeah. To looking outside and seeing how can I serve my neighbor?
Absolutely.
And who is my neighbor?
That's a great question. And we often will kind of help churches and nonprofits more on the church side kind of define who is their community. Back when people lived near their church, it was easy to understand, oh, this is my neighborhood. And even before cars, it's where you could walk.
Mm-hmm.
Today with transportation the way it is, you could live, you know, 30, 45 minutes away from your church. And so how does a church define community? How do they serve the local community near the church? But then also how do they send their people out to wherever they live to really be salt and light in those spaces?
Good observation with, you know, improvements in transportation. And now with the advance of the internet and communities existing
online.
Virtually.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Right. How does that impact those who live in close proximity to us, you know, geographically, those who live, you know, physically in the same neighborhood, yet we don't even know each other's names? How does that impact us in our own neighborhoods? And as you pointed out, you know, people may drive 35 minutes to be a part of a congregation, 35, 40 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yeah, we actually work with a number of our larger churches on this because as they look at their communities, they don't necessarily see these obvious issues of poverty, although it's there. A lot of it's a little bit more hidden. And so they ask the question, well, how can we mobilize the church to serve the communities? And where a number of them have landed is we just need to teach people what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and then how we send them out to wherever they find themselves to make disciples of Jesus.
Sure.
And so is it in your cul-de-sac? Is it on your block? Where has God placed you? And how can you kind of embody the gospel and serve those people? And in the context of those relationships, you will meet some of those more obvious needs. There's broken marriages. There is hunger. There are all those things. So yeah, it's definitely it's for every church, it's different as we kind of help them process what it looks like to serve community.
So why should people of all ages get involved in their community? Why should they, you know, I can think of adults, but what about children? Why people of all ages being involved in serving in their own community?
Sure. What we see is that as people engage in serving the community in any way and at any age, it really helps their faith come to life. We do a great job in the church of kind of teaching the faith and kind of this intellectual assent often, and we know kind of our facts and our doctrine, which is needed and necessary. But as people move out into the community, they see that theology kind of at work, and they get to see lives changed and communities changed by the gospel. And so we think that that can happen at every age. And we've seen some churches do it really great where they're, you know, for kids, they're really crafting different ways for them to engage in mission trips locally in their community or through VBS. And so helping kids experience that at an early age, but then as people grow older, giving them the tools that they can just start to see their community as their mission field. And it can be less programmatic in those later stages, but in the early stages, giving some handrails for people to really kind of grab onto and understand what it means to serve. But ultimately, we see faith formation being accelerated when people are out serving and having to really put that faith into action.
How do you adapt for each different community? You know, every congregation is in a unique community. Sure, there are some similarities across the board, across congregations and across communities. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that? Because I'm sure it can't be just like a cookie cutter.
No.
This works here, so it's obviously going to work here as well.
So we've kind of taken the approach to teach kind of skills and ways to think about the community. So for instance, with a congregation, we do a lot on teaching how to listen to your community. And so helping a church identify what are the different groups of people that you should try to connect with in your community to ask, what do you love about this community? What would you love to see different? And so we don't specifically name who they should meet with, but we can kind of give them a framework and say, you should really try to connect with these different rings of the community. Or we'll have them work with a software called Mission Insight, where they can pull down demographics on their community, because that will be different for each neighborhood.
What is that? Tell me a little bit about the software that you use.
Yeah, well, we don't use it. I believe it's either LCEF has the license or the district. But a congregation can contact the district, and they will run a specific demographic study for kind of the area around your church. And so it's a lot of the basic census data, but it also has, I think, what they call kind of like faith attitudes. And so somehow they have this information about the people that live in this community. This is how they think about church and God and faith. And so it can give...
How do they know that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so they, so that can give them kind of a cross-section of what they're dealing with. But it can't stop there. If you're just looking at a screen, that's one thing, but really getting out there into the community and becoming a part of the community. So we try to encourage churches to say, where's the community already gathering around you? And how can you join in with that? And so if people are already having block parties, you don't necessarily need to start your own, but can you just encourage your people to attend existing functions?
Sure.
And become part of that social fabric of the community.
It might be pretty quiet around on Sunday mornings, but you know, on Thursday evenings, the Little League fields are
packed. Exactly. Do you need to start a separate baseball team, or can you empower your people to go coach the existing leagues and form relationships that way?
Mm-hmm.
So we see relationships as kind of the foundation for everything, and trying to help churches and nonprofits enter into deeper relationship with those that they serve. That's kind of one of our main metrics.
Can you give me some examples of where you've seen relationships build, or you've seen a congregation successfully build capacity to serve in their community?
Sure. Yeah, a couple come to mind. One church that we've worked with in a variety of different ways is Holy Cross in the city, which is actually very close to where the Lutheran Hospital was, kind of across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a congregation that really recognized a need to serve youth in their community. And one of their staff people will tell the story of kids were breaking windows in their old school building. And now those kids are part of a program that they have called Intersect. And it's all around kind of arts and after school programming for kids around kind of painting and different drawing and around the arts. And they have engaged a number of their members in that. And it has turned their perspective towards the community to where they are now engaging the parents of those kids. And it's a safe place for kids to come. But it kind of just starts there. They have an art gallery, and the community now comes to art showings. And they also have artists in residence. And now they're pivoting towards even welcoming in, hopefully, a charter school into their old building and renovating another building for a larger Intersect arts program. And so
I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to learn more about Intersect.
Oh, wonderful.
On Friday.
And they can, good. And they can go into much greater detail on it. But as an outside observer, it's just watching God open this congregation up to the community, and they're doing it in very authentic ways. And so they have people in the congregation that are artists, and so they're using their passions, their gifts, their assets, but also looking at the needs of the neighborhood and saying, kids are just around and they don't have a lot of things to do. And so to me, it's a great...
Which is a dangerous combination. When kids
exactly.
are around and they don't have a lot to do,
exactly,
we find things for them to do that are going to be helpful.
One of the cool things I heard that they did this summer was conflict resolution is an issue in a lot of our city neighborhoods. And so somehow they're using, I think, dance or some art form to teach conflict resolution. And so it's just cool to see God work in really unique ways to meet needs in communities through local churches.
And this all, as you mentioned earlier, through the gifts and talents of the congregation, people in the congregation who are artists or connected to other artists that can help with teaching the programs right there.
Absolutely.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood, in spaces that used to be filled with kids when they were at school for Holy Cross's situation, and now they're filling it up with students, but in a different way. And so it's God is faithful in serving the community. It just looks different at different stages of history.
How often do we overlook our assets, our gifts and talents, the things that God has given us right where we are that we could use right where we are?
We see that a lot. I think the direction some churches have gone is very programmatic, and they will look at what another church has done and they will say, hey, it worked there. Let's just implement it here.
We want to be just like them.
Exactly. You know, that's the big thriving church. And so we really at the start of working with a congregation really try to pull back and say, what are you passionate about? Where has God placed you? And then we do even a process called asset mapping. It's a interactive kind of brainstorming session on steroids where we help them identify assets in five different categories. And then we have them group those assets around actionable projects that they could do in the community. And then we have people vote and they walk around the idea that makes them come to life. And so it's a really energizing process, and it reorients everything to say, this is everything God's given you. How can we leverage that towards serving a need in the community versus starting from a needs-based perspective where, hey, we have this need, but we don't have anything. Mm-hmm. No, you have everything that you need to work on that. So
God has given you everything you need to yes. serve in the ways that he's called you to serve.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. So simple.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and we look right past it.
It is. And I think today we can often just be down on the church and down on kind of our situation. But I think if we can look at things in a different perspective and know that God goes before us and we're joining in with what he is already doing, I think mm-hmm. it can flip the tables and give us hope.
Well, Intersect at Holy Cross is a great example. Any other examples that come to mind?
Yeah, there's another, most of these examples I've come more from city congregations, but we do work, of course, in the metro area. But another church, Messiah, is located on South Grand. And they, again, one of these common threads is they have some folks in their congregation that really care about affordable housing, and they have a real estate background. And from that, they are pursuing affordable housing for immigrants in their neighborhood. They're really close to the International Center. And so there's a lot of immigrants that need quality housing, and they've had some experiences where they've learned firsthand that mm-hmm. a lot of the housing that some of these immigrants will end up in is not safe. And so sure. through the resources of the church and some specific individuals, they're pursuing affordable housing, they're pursuing a charter school, they're pursuing and then trying to build the kind of a bridge between those that might live in these new affordable housing units between them and the church. And how can the church provide wraparound mm-hmm. care and support?
And they're working with the Peace Center, right? And CFNA.
Integrate with the Peace Center at CFNA down the street and trying to bring together all those different resources. In St. Louis, we have such a wide variety of resources. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just coordinating that and bringing it kind of all together to serve people.
Absolutely.
So that's a great example there.
Well, wonderful to hear that, quite often when we look at cities like St. Louis and other similar cities, and we think of those city congregations, urban congregations, sometimes the word decline comes mm-hmm. to mind, but that's really not the case when they start looking at how have they been gifted and how can they serve right in their own communities.
And we also see a group of people that are reclaiming those neighborhoods and saying, we both want to go to church here, but we also want to live here. And developing kind of a theology of place, and that gives great ownership. And so we see that with a number of our not just our city churches, but kind of around saying, all right, where has God placed us? We need to care about this. So
how does this perspective, taking on this recognizing that we live in a community or that our congregation is in a community, how does this make a difference for families? How does this make a difference for mom, dad, the kids, or whatever, it might be a single mom and kids or single dad and kids. How does it make a difference for families who are involved in congregations that start looking at how can we serve in our community?
Yeah, I think it provides, I go back to this idea of faith formation. As a family, being able to engage in a service project in the community, mm-hmm. I think it's a powerful thing because afterwards, we always talk in Send Me St. Louis a lot about the need for reflection in the midst of service. And so as we're serving, kind of drawing back and saying, how is God using this to shape me more into the image of Christ? And so I from a family perspective, being able to ask your kids, where did you see God moving today? And where did you feel strengthened by him in the midst of serving? I think it can provide some really cool conversations and really formative conversations for families and bringing a family together around a shared purpose and a shared vision to really live out the gospel.
How can congregations find out about Send Me St. Louis?
Sure.
How can they, what does it take to learn more, to do
sure.
something like asset mapping and things
yeah.
like that?
The best place to kind of get an overview of us is, of course, at our website. That's www.sendmestlouis.org. There you can learn all about the different trainings that we do. So we do about 6 to 7 trainings per fall and spring, and most are held out at Lutheran Arm Ministries. And so we've got 2 that are coming up. I'll give you those dates. One is on Wednesday, August 24th, and that's going to be about building engaged boards. So that's for more of our nonprofit and church leaders to get their board of directors engaged in a more dynamic way. And then on Tuesday, September 13th, we'll be talking about volunteer placement. How do we assess and discover the gifts of our people and get them matched up with good volunteer opportunities? So the website's a great way to kind of learn about what we do and find out about the group trainings. In terms of asset mapping and more of these tailored trainings, really, I'm the entry point for that. And so I take a lot of people to coffee. You can find my contact information on our website. Would love to learn about the context and learn about the congregation or nonprofit and figure out helpful ways that SendMe can partner with you.
We just got back from, not too long ago, from the LCMS National Youth Gathering, 25,000 youth. Some of our youth recently said, you know, we went to this gathering, we had a wonderful time, we got to participate in servant events there. Sure. We did something as simple as painting in a school. And for us, it was really simple, you know, mm-hmm. paintbrush or a roller, sure. painting a wall. It was really easy. All we had sure. to do was show up and, you know, use a little muscle and paint this wall. But for the people in that school, for the administrator in that school who was there that day, this was huge for
Absolutely.
Her. It made a huge difference for her. Wow. What can we do in our own community? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was so simple. There have to be simple things we can do in our own community.
Absolutely.
This is what our youth said. What would you say to a young person who says that? There has to be a way that we can serve in our community, or a number of ways we can serve in our community. It's really not that hard.
Yeah, I would definitely say take that energy and bring it back to the community. Bring it back to your local community and begin to talk to your church leaders about what are ways that we are actively serving. Maybe there's ways you aren't aware of that your church is already serving the local community. If not, see if you can kind of be part of that effort to encourage the church to not just look internationally, which is needed, but to look right in their backyard and look at the mission field that's right outside their doors. And if the church isn't doing something, there's also look at nonprofits that are already serving specific needs in your community and go volunteer there. There's a number of ways that, you don't need to go to New Orleans or abroad to serve, although that's needed. But right here locally, there's some simple things I think that you can do.
I think it was something, for them, for our youth to step outside of their own community and see how simple it really
Absolutely.
Is to do something as simple as painting.
Well, and a lot of times these grassroots kind of efforts to youth, to anyone, I would just say, just start paying attention to the community. When you come to church, don't just go in the door, sit down, and then leave. Start to just spend time listening, looking around, and just starting to see where might there be some needs and where might my passions intersect that. Mm-hmm. And regardless of age, begin to work towards addressing those. And people will join in because people can tell when God is on the move and they want to be a part of it.
So that means also being involved in things in the community
Absolutely.
As well, so you can be aware of what the
Absolutely.
Needs are. Reading the local news.
Read the local paper. Join the Facebook pages. Join Nextdoor. Mm-hmm. Follow different individuals on Twitter. Become part of that relational fabric in the community. Go to the same coffee shop. Go to the same restaurant consistently.
What if we don't have a coffee shop yet? Build one?
I don't think that coffee shops are always the answer. Go to the local gas station. You know, this looks different in rural communities and suburban communities. Find where people gather and become a part of that. Is it the park? Is it the skating rink? Whatever it might be. It plays out in every community differently.
I think there is a true need if there's no coffee shop, right? That's a true need in and of itself. Matt, always a pleasure to talk with you. We get to talk off the air every once in a while. Nice to actually have
it's
you in studio today and spend some time talking about Send Me St. Louis. Again, real quickly before we go, where can we find out more?
Yeah, our website, www.sendmestlouis.org, is the best place to get our contact information about our upcoming trainings and other services.
Very good. Send Me St. Louis, a part of Lutheran Foundation
of
here
St. Louis,
in St. Louis.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being my guest. A pleasure to talk with you. Matt Miller, Social Service Outreach and Volunteerism Specialist for Send Me St. Louis. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. We're continuing our study of God's Word. While Pastor Wheaton is out, we're revisiting some of our previous studies today, taking a look at Ephesians chapter 4. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.